Down to business on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland. We understand business. Choose the bank that's here to help you rise to today's business challenges and tomorrow's.
Now, what the world needs now is more compassionate, loving and human leaders. That's according to a new book, The Fourth Bottom Line, Flourishing in the New Era of Compassionate Leadership. And the author, Paul Hargreaves, joins me now. How are you, Paul?
Really pleased to be here on this Saturday morning.
Great. Now, tell me, what are the key messages in the book?
Well, the key messages really are we need something a lot better. I think we've had enough of poor, masculine-dominated, unempathetic leadership. And this was really brought home to me at the start of the pandemic, which is well over a year ago now, when it was very, very clear to me that some leaders were really acting with compassion and empathy, but unfortunately many political and business leaders were doing the very opposite of that. And I've had this idea in my mind to write this book for a while, but it kind of forced me to write it by seeing the polarization there was at the start of the pandemic between good leadership and bad leadership.
It's a very interesting book in the sense that, and I know you tried to keep it to 31 characteristics because your idea was that a manager or a leader could maybe do one every day. You ended up with 50. So maybe we might look at a couple of them and just chat through them. Like, let's talk about compassion, because a lot of people can pay lip service to that, Paul. You know, am I compassionate? Am I not? Maybe I'm compassionate on a Tuesday, but I'm not on a Friday. You know, talk me through about sort of genuine compassion in leadership.
Well, I think genuine compassion has to come from the heart. And to me, some people may disagree, there has to be a level of emotional engagement with the plight of other people who are less fortunate than ourselves.
Yeah.
So I run a business that's a B Corp, which puts people and planet before profit. And this came home to me a few years ago when I was talking about that. We were doing the right things. We had a good intention, but probably not enough passion and therefore enough compassion. And I put up a slide talking about climate change, put up a slide of some Bangladeshi people who'd been flooded out of their homes. And I was on a stage at a talk and just I cried. Wow. For about 2 minutes, which was a bit embarrassing at the time. I didn't used to do that very often. It happens a bit more now. But for our business, since that moment, I've been a lot more passionate about reversing climate change. We've put in loads of stuff since then. And for me, true compassion has to be driven from you genuinely feeling stuff for other people, feeling passionate and almost angry about the inequality in the world, angry about the fact that climate change affects the poor countries of the world far more than it does us at the moment. And I think it's that passion that really will drive change in the end.
And do you think maybe, and I don't know what age group you are, but like if you look at maybe younger folk in the workplace, do you think that they've got a low tolerance for kind of old military style, dictatorial type of management?
Absolutely, yes. I think the days of command and control type leadership are, well, they're not gone. Sadly, they're not gone. But I think younger people and increasingly older people just won't stay in organisations like that.
Yeah.
As I said at the beginning, we need something a lot better than we've had in the past. And it just doesn't work anymore. Those kind of very hierarchical businesses and organizations, they're simply, I think particularly since the pandemic, people are having even less tolerance for them than before. And I think people, well, I know, I've had emails from people who have literally left their companies, even during the pandemic, which is probably a risky thing to do, but they've had enough of the very kind of lack of empowering leadership in their organization that they've been working for. So they've left and some of them are set up on their own. Some of them, a couple of them actually come to work for us.
You know, when people maybe have the choice or when they're working from home, what do you think the implications of working from home are. Maybe that, you know, the manager or the leader isn't in the general proximity, isn't looking over the desk or looking over the shoulder. Like, is it easier to judge employee performance now because it's, you know, did you do that or did you not? And I can't see you doing it.
Well, I think that's probably been one of the big surprises for some of these controlling managers that haven't trusted their people. So there was probably a great deal of nervousness from those types of leaders. Fortunately, we haven't got any in our organisation. At the start of the pandemic, when they think, well, all these people are working from home, they're going to be out, you know, with their kids, they're not going to be working hard, they'll be out in the garden. And actually, the very opposite was true. That people have actually been more productive working from home. So I'm hopeful, actually, that now people are, in the UK anyway, starting to come back to their offices for some of the week at least. I think there probably is more trust there. So I'm hopeful that we will see a better kind of management and a better leadership moving forward. And I think the pandemic will have helped us in that area.
Yeah. When going back to the book, then, when you look at the 50 different characteristics, the essential characteristics, the science of giving somebody an exercise and practical tips, how have you found that, what's the feedback on that from readers been?
Yeah, well, it's the book's only been out a week, but I did send a few pre-publication copies out to some people who, actually the feedback has been overwhelmingly good, actually. I'm really happy. So basically, you read 3 or 4 pages a day, and then there's some action points for each day to put into practice servant leadership or humility or kindness. And people seem to be loving it, actually. I'm really, really pleased with the feedback I've had so far. So obviously, my hope is that after 50 days of, in a very small way, working on one of these characteristics, that people will have moved up a notch in their leadership. And if that happens for 10,000 leaders in the UK and Ireland, then we will have moved forward, won't we?
Yeah. And just finally, Paul, you talk about people and planet. But you're not ignoring profit. You're still saying that's because every business does have to make a profit in order to stay in business. But yeah. So is profit a good bedfellow with people and planet, or can it be?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I would say, and my company is proof of the pudding, that we focus on people and planet first. But since we've been doing that, we've made more profit each year. And I think that's increasingly going to be true as we move on, because consumers and buyers, we're a B2B business, but consumer-led businesses, or even buyers buying from people like us, they're increasingly going to buy from businesses that are sustainable, that do have a happy workforce, that are making sure their supply chain is being treated well and the suppliers of the raw ingredients are getting a proper price for those ingredients. And I think more and more and more, if you're not doing that, you probably won't make a profit. And those businesses that are doing that will be the ones that are more profitable and will be the ones that perhaps take over some of the other failing businesses that are still focused simply on the single bottom line of profit.
Right. And very finally, just tell me about compulsory volunteering. That's something that you have in your organisation. I was quite intrigued by it. How does it work?
So we've just brought that in, actually, for this year. We've always done volunteering. We've got a project in Kenya with an AIDS orphanage, actually. I noticed you'd been involved in one in Africa too. So we've always, a few of us have always been going out there every year and various other things in the community. But this year we're paying people, and they have to do in a year, which isn't very much. We'll start low and work higher. Everyone has to do 12 hours of volunteering in work time during this year in order to, you know, to get the bonus at the end of the year. So as I said, it's something many people are doing anyway, but we've decided to make sure everyone in the company is doing that. And obviously 12 hours times, well, we will have 80 people by the end of the year. That's quite a lot of good that can be done in that time.
All right, well, Fair play to you. So listen, it's a very interesting book and a very interesting approach to the subject. The book is called The Fourth Bottom Line, Flourishing in the New Era of Compassionate Leadership, and the author is Paul Hargreaves. Where can we get the book, Paul?
Well, it's on all online book channels.
Great. Okay. Well, thanks for joining us this morning, and we wish you well in your quest and your endeavours.
Thanks very much for having me. Enjoy the rest of the day.